Before we start, a quick note that this entire episode, including the voices you're hearing, is AI generated. Today's fictional sponsor is Mjolnir Coffee, the lightning-bold roast that awakens your inner Viking. Though Mjolnir Coffee doesn't actually exist. Some details in our discussion might be inaccurate, so please fact-check anything important to you. I'm Rachel, and today we're diving into one of the most foundational texts of Western literature, the Poetic Edda. With me is Magnus Eriksson, a medieval literature professor who spent 2 decades studying Old Norse poetry and mythology.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. I should clarify, I'm here as someone who teaches and studies the Edda, not as its translator or compiler, since these poems were collected and preserved by medieval Icelandic scribes centuries ago.
Right, and that's part of what makes this collection so fascinating. These aren't just stories, they're instructional texts that taught medieval Scandinavians how to understand their world, their values, and their place in the cosmic order.
Exactly. The Poetic Edda functions as a complete educational system. It's mythology, but it's also philosophy, ethics, practical wisdom, and even a guide to poetry and rhetoric.
For listeners who might only know Thor from Marvel movies, what exactly is the Poetic Edda, and why should modern people care about thousand-year-old Norse poems?
The Poetic Edda is a collection of Old Norse poems preserved in medieval Iceland, probably compiled in the 13th century. But the poems themselves are much older, some dating back to the 9th or 10th centuries.
And these weren't just entertainment.
Not at all. These poems were the textbooks of their time. They taught everything from cosmology, how the universe works, to practical ethics about honor, loyalty, and survival in a harsh world.
The Edda covers the entire Norse mythological cycle, from the creation of the world to its destruction in Ragnarok. But it's structured as instruction, not just narrative.
Right. Take the Havamal, one of the most important poems in the collection. It's essentially a wisdom manual, offering practical advice on everything from how to be a good guest to how to navigate complex social relationships.
Then you have the purely mythological poems like Völuspá, which tells the story of creation and destruction, but also serves as a framework for understanding time, fate, and human responsibility.
The genius of the Edda is that it embeds practical wisdom inside compelling stories. The gods aren't perfect beings to worship. They're complex characters whose successes and failures teach lessons about human nature.
Before we dive into specific teachings, help us understand why these particular stories emerged in medieval Scandinavia.
These poems developed in a culture where survival depended on understanding social dynamics, maintaining reputation, and making good judgments in uncertain situations. The harsh northern environment demanded both individual resilience and strong community bonds.
So the gods and heroes in these stories face the same fundamental challenges as ordinary people.
Exactly. Even Odin, the chief god, constantly struggles with incomplete information and difficult choices. Thor's strength doesn't solve every problem. These are teaching stories about navigating a complex, often dangerous world.
Let's talk about the Edda's central thesis. What's the core worldview these poems are trying to teach?
The fundamental message is that the world is governed by fate, but within that framework, individual choices matter enormously. You can't control outcomes, but you can control how you face them.
This is different from both classical mythology and Christian teaching.
Right. Greek gods are often petty and arbitrary. Christian teaching emphasizes divine providence and ultimate justice. Norse mythology says the universe will end, the gods will die, but what matters is how you conduct yourself knowing this.
The concept of Ragnarok, the twilight of the gods, is central here.
Yes. In Völuspá. But even the gods know their ultimate fate. They know Ragnarok is coming, they know many of them will die, but they continue to act with honor and purpose anyway.
So it's teaching a form of heroic fatalism.
I'd call it informed acceptance combined with active engagement. You face reality clearly, including its harsh aspects, but you don't become passive. You act according to your values regardless of the outcome.
How does this play out in the stories of human heroes, not just gods?
Look at the Volsung saga material in the Edda. Sigurd the Dragon Slayer achieves great deeds but is ultimately destroyed by the very forces his heroism sets in motion. The teaching isn't don't be heroic, it's be heroic anyway.
The Edda also presents a very specific view of wisdom and knowledge.
Odin is the god of wisdom, but his wisdom comes through sacrifice and suffering. In the Havamal, he hangs himself on the world tree for 9 days and nights to gain the secret of the runes.
Wisdom isn't something you're born with or given easily.
Never. Every piece of important knowledge in these poems is earned through risk, sacrifice, or painful experience. Wisdom is active, not passive.
Sets up one of the Edda's key teaching methods, the wisdom poem. Let's start with the Havamal, which is probably the most practical instructional text in the collection.
The Havamal is structured as Odin's direct advice to humans. It covers everything from basic social etiquette to deep philosophical principles about fate and friendship.
Give us a concrete example of how it works as instruction.
Take the section on being a guest. Odin advises that when you enter someone's home, you should look carefully around before sitting down, because you need to know where the exits are and who might be your enemies.
That's very practical advice for a world where hospitality could be a trap.
Right. But it's also teaching a broader principle about awareness and preparation. The specific advice is about being a house guest, but the underlying lesson is about staying alert in unfamiliar situations.
Havamal also gives detailed guidance on friendship and loyalty.
It's very sophisticated about relationships. It warns against both excessive trust and excessive suspicion. One verse says you should exchange gifts with friends regularly because friendship requires ongoing investment.
How does that translate to modern application?
The principle is that relationships require intentional maintenance. The specific mechanism, gift exchange, might be different now, but the underlying wisdom is that friendship dies without regular mutual investment.
The Havamal also addresses how to handle secrets and information.
It's very clear that controlling information is crucial to survival. It advises being very careful about what you reveal and to whom, but also warns against becoming so secretive that you isolate yourself.
Again, this seems like it has modern applications in workplace politics or social media.
Absolutely. The advice about reputation management and strategic communication is surprisingly relevant. The Edda understands that information is power, but that hoarding it completely backfires.
Let's move to another key instructional framework, the flighting or poetic insult contest. How does this function as teaching?
Flighting appears in several poems, most notably in Lokasenna, where Loki trades insults with the other gods. It's teaching verbal combat skills, but also social boundary setting.
Walk us through how Lokasenna works as instruction.
Loki systematically attacks each god's reputation by revealing their shameful secrets or failures. The gods respond by defending themselves and counterattacking. It's like a masterclass in rhetoric and psychological warfare.
What's the practical lesson here?
First, it teaches you how verbal attacks work. They target reputation, consistency, and perceived weaknesses. Second, it shows different defensive strategies: denial, counterattack, appealing to allies, or changing the subject.
So this is instruction in both offensive and defensive social combat.
Yes, and it also teaches about consequences. Loki wins the verbal contest, but he's ultimately punished severely for it. The lesson is that being able to destroy someone socially doesn't mean you should.
The mythological poems also function as instructional frameworks. How does something like the Völuspá teach practical wisdom?
Völuspá presents the entire cosmic cycle from creation to destruction as spoken by a vulva, a seeress. It's teaching about patterns, consequences, and the relationship between individual actions and cosmic events.
Give us a specific example of how this works.
The poem traces how the gods' initial good intentions gradually lead to corruption and conflict. They create humans as allies, but competition for resources leads to war. They try to bind threatening forces, but this creates resentment that eventually destroys them.
So it's teaching about unintended consequences and systemic thinking.
Exactly. It shows how individual moral failures accumulate into cosmic catastrophe. But it also shows regeneration. After Ragnarok, a new world emerges, suggesting that destruction can be part of necessary renewal.
The hero poems, like those about Sigurd, also function as instructional texts. What are they teaching?
The Sigurd material is fundamentally about the costs and benefits of exceptional achievement. Sigurd gains great power by killing the dragon Fafnir, but this power makes him a target and ultimately destroys him.
It's not arguing against heroic action.
No, it's teaching about the trade-offs involved. Great deeds bring great risks. The instruction is to pursue excellence with full awareness of what it might cost you.
The Edda also teaches through its presentation of different types of wisdom. Odin represents one kind, but there are others.
Right. Odin is about strategic wisdom gained through sacrifice. Thor represents practical problem-solving through direct action. Frigg embodies protective wisdom focused on preservation rather than acquisition.
These different approaches are shown succeeding and failing in different contexts.
Exactly. Odin's cleverness sometimes backfires. Thor's directness sometimes creates more problems than it solves. The teaching is that different situations require different approaches to wisdom.
Now let's get practical. If someone wants to actually apply these teachings today, where do they start?
I'd start with the Havamal's advice about observation and awareness. Before entering any new situation, a job, a relationship, a social group, spend time observing the dynamics before you commit to a course of action.
How does this look in practice?
Say you're starting a new job. Instead of immediately trying to make friends or assert yourself, spend your first few weeks watching how information flows, who has real influence versus formal authority, and what the unwritten rules actually are.
That's very different from modern advice about making a strong first impression.
The Edda prioritizes survival and long-term success over immediate impact. It's teaching you to gather intelligence before you act, which might be slower but reduces the risk of serious mistakes.
What about applying the Edda's approach to friendship and relationships?
The Havamal teaches that friendship is transactional but in a positive way. You maintain relationships through regular mutual investment. This could be as simple as remembering to check in with people regularly or offering help before you need it yourself.
Walk us through a concrete scenario.
If you have a colleague who's been helpful to you, don't wait until you need something from them again to maintain contact. Send them useful information, make introductions that benefit them, or just acknowledge their contributions publicly. Keep the relationship active.
The Edda's teachings about reputation seem especially relevant to social media age.
The Havamal's advice about controlling information is crucial here. It warns against both oversharing and being so secretive that people can't trust you. You need to be strategic about what you reveal and when.
How do you apply this to something like LinkedIn or Twitter?
Fair enough to establish credibility and relatability, but not so much that you give your competitors advantages or create ammunition for your enemies. The Edda teaches that information about your weaknesses or failures should only be shared strategically.
What about applying the Edda's approach to handling conflict or criticism?
The Flighting poems teach that verbal attacks usually target your reputation, your consistency, or your perceived weaknesses. So your defense should address whichever of these is being attacked, not just react emotionally.
Give us a workplace example.
Someone criticizes your work in a meeting, first identify what kind of attack it is. Are they questioning your competence, your commitment, or your judgment? Then respond to that specific challenge with evidence, not just defensiveness.
The Lokasenna also teaches about when to disengage from conflict.
Yes. Loki wins the verbal battle but loses the war. Sometimes proving you're right or more clever just makes enemies you don't need. The Edda teaches strategic restraint.
How do you know when to push back versus when to let something go?
Ask yourself what you're really trying to achieve. If it's just proving a point or venting frustration, probably let it go. If it's protecting something genuinely important, your reputation, your team, your principles, then engage, but strategically.
What about applying the Edda's approach to long-term planning and dealing with uncertainty?
The cosmological poems teach that you should plan and work toward your goals while accepting that outcomes are ultimately beyond your control. Focus on what you can influence, your preparation, your skills, your relationships.
This seems relevant to career planning or major life decisions.
Right. You might want to become a professor or start a business, but you can't control market conditions or institutional politics. What you can control is developing your expertise, building your network, and positioning yourself to take advantage of opportunities.
The Edda also teaches about learning from failure and setbacks.
Odin's wisdom-seeking journeys often involve humiliation or loss. The message is that valuable knowledge usually comes from difficult experiences, not just success. You should expect setbacks and extract lessons from them.
How does this apply when someone experiences a major professional or personal failure?
Instead of just trying to move past it quickly, spend time analyzing what you learned about yourself, other people, or how systems work. The Edda suggests that painful experiences are often your best teachers if you're willing to learn from them.
What are the most common mistakes people make when trying to apply these teachings?
The biggest mistake is treating the Edda's strategic advice as permission to be manipulative or dishonest. The poems emphasize honor and maintaining your reputation, which requires genuine integrity.
It's not just about being clever or winning.
No, the strategic thinking has to be grounded in authentic relationships and genuine competence. The Edda teaches sophisticated social navigation, but always within a framework of honor and mutual respect.
What about people who take the fatalistic aspects too far?
Some people interpret the emphasis on fate as an excuse for passivity, but the Edda's heroes are constantly taking action despite knowing their ultimate fate. Accepting uncertainty should increase your commitment to your values, not decrease it.
Are there situations where the Edda's advice might not apply or could backfire?
The emphasis on reputation and honor works well in relationship-based environments, but might be less relevant in highly bureaucratic or anonymous systems where personal connections matter less.
And the strategic approach to information and relationships might seem calculating in cultures that value more direct communication.
Exactly. You have to adapt the principles to your context. The core insights about awareness, preparation, and relationship maintenance are universal, but the specific tactics need to fit your environment.
If someone could only implement one teaching from the Edda, what should it be?
I'd say the fundamental practice of observation before action. Most of the Edda's other teachings depend on accurately understanding your situation before you decide how to respond.
Now let's step back and evaluate the Edda critically. What does it do brilliantly as an instructional text?
Its greatest strength is embedding practical wisdom in memorable stories. The narrative framework makes the teaching stick in a way that abstract advice doesn't.
The characterization of the gods is also sophisticated,
Yes. They're complex enough that you can find multiple lessons in the same story depending on your situation. Odin's sacrifice for wisdom can be read as a lesson about dedication, strategic thinking, or the costs of knowledge.
Where does the Edda fall short or overpromise?
It's very focused on individual agency and strategic thinking, but it doesn't give much guidance about systemic change or collective action. The solutions are almost always personal rather than institutional.
And it assumes a fairly competitive, hierarchical social environment.
Right. Some of the advice about reputation management and strategic information sharing might be less relevant in more collaborative or egalitarian contexts.
How does the Edda compare to other wisdom literature from different cultures?
It's more pragmatic than much classical philosophy, more psychologically sophisticated than most religious teaching, but less systematic than something like Confucian ethics. It's very much wisdom for navigating an uncertain, competitive world.
What does it leave out that readers should seek elsewhere?
It doesn't offer much guidance about emotional regulation, spiritual development, or creative expression. It's focused on survival, success, and maintaining honor, but there's more to life than strategic social navigation.
The Edda also doesn't provide much framework for ethical reasoning about competing values or complex moral dilemmas.
That's true. It assumes you already know what honor requires in any given situation. It's teaching tactics more than fundamental ethics.
How has the Edda influenced modern culture and thinking?
Obviously, there's the pop culture influence through Marvel movies and fantasy literature, but there's also been influence on psychology and leadership thinking, particularly around resilience and strategic thinking.
The concept of learning through adversity has become pretty mainstream in business and self-help literature.
Yes, though it's often simplified. The Edda's version is more sophisticated because it doesn't promise that adversity automatically leads to growth. It teaches specific practices for extracting wisdom from difficult experiences.
What criticism has the Edda received, particularly from modern scholars?
Some critics argue that it romanticizes conflict and competition in ways that don't translate well to modern cooperative work environments. Others point out that the gender roles and social assumptions are quite limited.
There's also been criticism about cultural appropriation when the Norse material gets divorced from its historical context.
That's a valid concern. The Edda works best when you understand it as emerging from specific social and environmental conditions, not as universal truth that can be applied anywhere without modification.
As we wrap up, what's the single most important thing you want listeners to take away from this discussion?
The Edda teaches that wisdom comes from paying attention to how the world actually works, not how you wish it worked. But once you understand the real dynamics, you have more power to act effectively according to your values.
It's about clear-eyed realism combined with principled action.
Exactly. See clearly, act honorably, accept consequences. It's simple to state, but requires constant practice to implement.
The key insight is that strategic thinking and moral integrity aren't opposites. They actually reinforce each other when you're operating in a relationship-based world.
That's the sophisticated wisdom the Edda offers. It's not about choosing between being good and being effective. It's about understanding that long-term effectiveness requires genuine integrity and authentic relationships.
Magnus, thank you for this deep dive into one of the most practical wisdom traditions ever preserved in literature.
Thanks for having me, Rachel. I hope listeners will engage with these ancient poems as living instruction, not just historical artifacts.